I heard that former Senator Gaylord Nelson was due to address the National Press Club on Monday last, so I decided to scrap my plans to provide a verbal table of contents for Earth Day celebrations and do some sort of commentary on Mr. Nelson's speech. As luck would have it, my schedule required me to be driving on Monday between 1 and 2 p.m., going through some heavy traffic, and though I listened with delight, I had no chance to take notes during the talk and was immediately occupied with other activities upon arrival at my destination. Note-making had to wait until my memory bank had grown quite cold. I guess I forgot to enter the instruction to my brain to save the information. Why the interest in Gaylord Nelson? Among other things, he is generally credited with being the father of Earth Day. His original concept was for nationwide teach-ins patterned after those used in anti-Vietnam and civil rights efforts. The response was pretty remarkable, considering the fact that the people had shown only mild interest in environmental concerns, which hadn't cracked the political agenda much at all. It included colleges, public schools, youth groups, various service organizations, even units of local government. Few, if any, of the Fortune 500 had anything positive to say about it. Some lambasted it. Still, I can testify that it had widespread, if temporary, impact. By 1970, the Rogers Center at Sherburn was ready for some sort of shot in the arm. Most of the development was completed. A substantial clientele of over 50,000 people visited Rogers in 1969. We'd reached the point where some weekends were pretty crowded with parking lots full and overflow along both sides of Route 80. County sheriff and state troopers complained about the parking and dangerous traffic conditions, while others complained about the growing congestion on the grounds, in the building, and on the trails. It was just the beginning, however. During the next year, attendance doubled again, but more of it was school groups during the week and winter visitation than in the past. Overnight, school visitation increased, as did that of organized youth groups. Earth Day 1970 came at just the right point in my career as an environmental educator. During the intervening 20 years, Gaylord Nelson continued to be one of the more consistent voices for environmental sanity in a federal government where a growing preoccupation with conservative agenda was to strip the props from under the conservation and environmental movement. Unfortunately, it was marked with an indelible label, liberal. Gaylord Nelson provided several explanations of this in his address on Monday. One was that money, translated here profit, does not have either conscience or judgment. Its purpose is to bring financial, not social gain. As Nelson put it, as long as whaling was profitable, brought an attractive return, the fact that it was also rapidly destroying its own resource was not necessarily important. If whales become extinct or cease to produce reasonable return for the dollar invested, the dollar will move on to some other source which will bring return without any remorse for what it has wrought. Most of us who try to provide the voice and conscience for nature forget that. We presume that the loss of the haunting cry of whale or wolf or the vivacious presence of warbler in the blooming maple is sufficient reason for restraint. It is, of course, for us. But as long as the causes of that deprivation are remote and provide livelihood, we won't be able to contravene them on the basis of the change in the quality of life. The reason for this, Nelson says, is that we lack locally and globally an environmental ethic. His first priority, therefore, was not for population control or even for global restraint in CO2 production, but for the development of an environmental ethic. My wish for this Earth Day would be that many of my listeners would read and understand the last section of Aldo Leopold's Sand County Almanac, the section he called The Upshot. Here, in 1948, Aldo Leopold explained what we need to know. Herewith is an excerpt. A land ethic reflects the existence of an ecological conscience, and this in turn reflects a conviction of individual responsibility for the health of the land. Health is the capacity of the land for self-renewal. Conservation is our effort to understand and preserve this capacity. Conservationists are notorious for their dissensions. In each field, one group, regards the land as soil and its function as commodity production. Another group, B, regards the land as a biota and its function as something broader. In these cleavages, we see repeated the same basic paradoxes. Man the conqueror versus man the biotic citizen. Science the sharpener of his sword versus science the searchlight on his universe. Land the slave and servant versus land the collective organism. Robinson's injunction to Tristram may well be applied at this juncture to Homo sapiens as a species in geological time. Whether you will or not, you are king, Tristram, for you are one of the time-tested few that leave the world, when they are gone, not the same place it was. Mark what you leave. Well, that's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.